Good morning, Suzanne.
Hey, good morning, Netta. I'm very happy that you're able to join, and I'm sorry for any confusion about the meeting ID.
No problem.
Okay, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Wonderful. Okay, so I know you're going to be joining by phone, and I have a little preamble to get us started. Do you have any questions before I go into that?
I don't think so.
You can hear me fine, is that correct?
I can. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you great, and there's no background white noise, so I really appreciate you joining by the phone. I'm sorry that
Yeah.
I talked to a friend yesterday and she said, yeah, she's had problems with one of her microphones, her headsets, so it may just be you need a new headset.
Okay, sounds great.
If you need me to write a letter so you can get one.
It's not mine. I had to borrow one from my supervisor.
Okay, well, they might need a new one.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and we have a little introduction, and I will edit off this beginning part, so we'll start here. So I'm Suzanne Stapleton, and I'm really pleased to be here today on December 13th, 2019, with Netta Cox, who is the Department Head of Cereals, Government Documents, and Liaison Librarian to Agriculture and Public Instruction at North Carolina Agriculture and Technical State University. Netta, as you know, the U.S. Agricultural Information Network, USAIN, Oral History Special Project, launched during USAIN's 30th year to document USAIN's history as experienced through its members and close affiliates. The goal is to document personal memories, experiences, and perspectives of the impact of this professional organization. Thank you so much for your interest and consent to participate in this project. We previously reviewed the oral history process and the permission agreement form. The interview consists of 10 questions. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. The interview consists of 10 questions, and we set aside an hour for the interview. And remember that you don't have to answer every question if you don't like to. And if you don't like your response to a question, we can just record it again. We'll just continue on with our interview, and we can edit out the response that you would prefer to delete. You will be given the opportunity to review the transcript before it's shared or archived. So, do you have any questions at this point?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, all right. So, shall we get started then?
Yes, let's get started.
Okay. Since 1990, USAIN has hosted a biannual conference. If you've attended USAIN conferences, which USAIN conference was your favorite and why?
Wow, that's a great question because I've attended three.
Okay.
I've attended the first one was the University of Vermont, when Elizabeth Bierman was the chair of the conference. And that was the first time I participated as a co-convener for the technology interest group.
Okay.
So that one was first time I met everybody. When we were waiting for the van, I didn't know anybody at all. I didn't know who was a part of the association, but we were waiting for the van and someone standing beside me, they say, "Are you Netta Cox?" I said, "Yes." And it was Melody Royster.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
It's so nice to meet you. I think she knew I was headed to the conference because we were waiting on the same van to go to a certain hotel, I guess. But so that was my first introduction to some of the group members. So that one holds a special place in my heart too. I also went to the 2018 USAIN, Washington State. And that one is special also because I cannot remember her name, but one of the hosts passed the following year. And her and I, we talked a bit about her family and also about her working at Washington State. And so that one is a bittersweet conference. But my favorite one was at the University of Florida. with Valerie as the chair. And at that particular conference, some of the HBCU library directors were able to participate in a panel discussion, and it was called On Being Heard, HBCUs and the National Conference on Food and Agriculture. National Conversation, I should say, on Food and Agriculture. So that was Annie Payton from Alabama A&M, Judith Rogers from the University of Virgin Islands, and Faye Watkins from Florida A&M. So we got to hear the 1890s perspective on the strengths and challenges they have faced at their university regarding agriculture. And Debbie Curry from NC State and myself put that panel together. So I guess that holds a special place in my heart. So if I had to choose one, I would say the University of Florida USAIN Conference was one of my favorites. And also that was the first time I met my co-convener, Ludie Salisbury. And she's kind of like a sister from another mother because we just hit it off. And so, as I said before, the University of Florida USAIN Conference holds a special place in my heart. That was my favorite one so far. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm not sure what happened. I apologize.
Okay, no
problem. Sounds like my microphone got turned off. I don't know if you heard me, but I said that was a wonderful panel that you put together. It was a great perspective for everybody to hear.
Great. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I definitely did. Okay, so the next question is, could you tell us a little bit about your involvement with USAIN? You've mentioned a few of your conference activities, but why did you decide to join the organization?
When I decided to go to library science school, I was living in Northern Virginia, and I became a fellow with CIRLA, which stands for Chesapeake Information Research Library Alliance. And it included some of the top research libraries in the Virginia and Washington, D.C. area. And one of those was the National Agricultural Library. Mm-hmm. And there I met Melanie Garner,
yes,
and Peggy Blake. And they were kind of, I considered them my mentors, some of my mentors while I was going to library science school. And when I became a faculty member here at North Carolina A&T State University, F.D. Bluford Library, my dean sent me to the AgNIC conference. And through AgNIC and Melody encouraging me, I actually decided to go to the USAIN conference. And that's how I got interested in becoming a member.
That's wonderful. And that's a great partnership because AgNIC has institutional membership and then USAIN has the personal sort of professional development of individual librarians.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it sounds like, would you like to elaborate further on your leadership roles within USAIN? It sounds like you've been involved in several of the conferences.
Yes. Peter Fernandez, he was the chair of the technology interest group prior to the 2014 conference. And so an email was sent out asking if anyone wanted to chair the committee. And I think Ludie was interested and I was interested, but both of us were kind of leery because we didn't know how to carry out our duties. So Peter was kind of like our mentor. And so we just decided we would co-chair the group. And through that, we have looked at multiple proposals on technology that's impacted agriculture. And also we've reviewed them, chosen them, and were able to meet a lot of the speakers. And we think the lightning talks are some of the most innovative talks that we've had. You have to give the people in the audience the nuts and bolts of what you've learned and can share it with the audience. So being the co-convener, it gives me a chance to learn a lot about the different technologies that are out there to help our agricultural students as well as our faculty.
That's great. So, Netta, has your professional responsibilities changed during your involvement with USAIN?
I think the year, I believe it was maybe 2014 when I did become the co-convener, the head of our selective FDLP library or Federal Depository Library program retired. And so the dean tasked me with the managing that particular department. And so that was a new responsibility that I took on. And it helped me, actually, it did help me find more resources for our ag students and our ag faculty. And those were open source resources they could use on a regular basis. So even though the responsibility changed, it actually helped me do my job a little bit better.
Yeah, because a significant number of those government documents are agricultural focused, particularly the historic ones.
Absolutely, yes.
Neat. Well, how has USAIN contributed to your professional development? And can you share a few specific examples, either more in-depth of what you've been talking about or another example?
Well, one way it has helped my professional development is I have learned how to work in a committee setting for the USAIN conference at the University of Florida. I was on the planning committee. And as I said before, Debbie and I worked together to find some participants for the panel discussion, HBCU panel discussion. And so it has taught me how to collaborate with others. It has taught me how to think out of the box as far as what people may want to hear at a conference. It has taught me that information is so broad, there's no way that we could share everything, but there are certain cycles that go on within 2 years that people want more information about. And so they've taught me how to kind of pinpoint different trends that are going on. So when I maybe participate in another committee or library association committee, then I can look over some of the topics or articles that have taken place over the past year and perhaps pinpoint some speakers that can share some of those perspectives with our association.
Great. The next question, can you describe any collaborative research that you participated in that may have grown out of your relationships with colleagues at USAIN? Any projects or, tasks that you've done in collaboration with other colleagues outside of USAIN?
Debbie Curry, I met Debbie at the USAIN conference, and she's my sister librarian from our state land grant university, North Carolina State University.
Okay.
And Debbie was always sending me information. Netta, we have some books that are available. I'm giving you the first chance to get those. And so she always thought of North Carolina A&T F.D. Buford Library first before she would send the email to others to see if they wanted the materials. And also through NC State, with the good collaboration that Debbie and I had, I actually wrote a grant with D.H. Hill Library, and the digital librarian was Brian Dietz, and the archivist is Todd Kamizarek, and we wrote a $194,000 grant to digitize cooperative extension and agricultural materials for both universities to be housed on one website. That grant was called the Better Living Grant, and I did get a chance to discuss that or present the information about the grant at the USAIN conference in Florida. And so that collaborative partnership kind of sprung out of my relationship with Debbie Curry. And also with that, one of our colleagues from the University of Virginia, she was interested in finding out about rights statements because she had been there when I did the presentation at USAIN. And so I was able to connect her with Brian Dietz, the digital librarian at NC State, who is an expert in copyright and digitization of materials. So that collaboration worked out real good. She was pleased with his answer, and now she has another source that she can use when she has questions about a digital project that she may be working on.
So in that project, were you, that sounds like a fabulous example of collaboration with USAIN colleagues. Were you both providing the print material and then it was being digitized at one place, but then you were sharing the website to the products of it?
Actually, it was, we had mostly print materials. We had the photographs, the documents, and we also had some audio recordings. And I believe we had some video also. Brian Dietz and Todd at NC State D.H. Hill Library, they mostly had the majority of their materials on microfilm.
Okay.
So they were able to send it to a vendor to have those materials digitized, but they came back for them to describe and add the metadata to the collection. What we did is we used like a Google Doc, and we would upload our metadata and our materials that we digitized
okay.
to the Google Doc. And then NC State could grab it, and then they could upload it to the website.
Uh-huh. What a great project.
It was. And like I said, Brian and Todd, they are great, great people and great resources. And I don't think if anybody from USAIN needed an answer about a digital project, I think they would be more than happy to help. That's the type of people they are.
That's fabulous.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, we're moving along. A little lighthearted question. Can you share a funny or silly memory about USAIN? For instance, what theme song would you suggest best embodies this organization?
Have you ever heard of Sister Sledge's song, We Are Family?
I definitely have.
And I guess I could change it a little bit. I got all my sisters and brothers with me.
There you go.
Because it's small enough, which, let me back up. It's large enough to, the conference is large enough for for you to glean great information about agricultural resources. But it's small enough to also get to know the people who are sharing the information. I can think of when we were in Washington State, I can't remember her name, but my niece, who I think she was 6 at the time, maybe 7, asked me to bring her a t-shirt.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. However, the t-shirts on campus were out of my budget. But we had came back from the wine tour, and so I asked one of the librarians, because I had overheard her say that she had a car. And I said, do you mind if I ride with you to go to Walmart? And she's like, sure. Then someone else asked. So it ended up being 3 of us, 3 ladies, and 1 guy librarian. And so we, you know, leaving Pullman, going into Iowa. And so we got to the Walmart. And we couldn't find what we were looking for. So we was like, well, we'll just go back to the hotel. But they said, no, let's go to the second Walmart. So we were out for about 2 hours in Walmart in Iowa looking for t-shirts. And so something like that, you know, that to me, it's like, that's crazy. But anyway, it was still fun just hanging out with them because they're such nice people.
Right.
And then in Florida, Ludi and I, we were going to go for a walk on the lunch break.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, Ludi, I'll meet you in the lobby. And so I stand in the lobby. And then I asked someone, have you seen Ludi? And they say, no, we haven't seen her. I said, well, let me go back in and look for her. And then I don't see her. Then I go back out. Have you seen? Well, she just came looking for you. She just left looking for you. So we never did catch up with each other. I think I ended up going for a walk with Claudine and one of her old employees out of University of Georgia area. And we decided to go looking for gators.
When you're here in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, these conferences do take you to different places. And many of them, are, being that they're ag universities, they can be very rural.
Yeah.
I think when you were describing about Pullman, I think it was remote enough that maybe when you were talking about going to Walmart, you might have crossed over the line into Idaho. It might have been maybe Moscow out at Idaho, because Pullman was a very small town. Yeah.
Yes, Moscow. And this is... I forgot about this one. This is when we went to the University of Vermont. You probably remember this if you were there.
I wasn't at that one.
You weren't at that one? Well, what happened was we were sitting in the conference room, and someone was, you know, sharing information. And then we hear somebody says, there's a moose loose. We're like, what is that? The window. And so we went running to the window, but by the time we got there, the moose was gone. But when I looked at the news, the moose had been running on campus, and it had tried to break the window to the engineering department.
Oh my goodness.
And it was a baby moose, but I think they said it weighed close to maybe 300 pounds or something like that.
Wow.
But that was interesting. A moose is loose on campus. What?
Not something we have every day here.
No. When it came on the news, I made sure I took a screenshot of that picture of the moose ramming his...
trying to get into the engineering building.
Yes, ramming his antlers into the window.
My goodness.
That was funny.
Well, good suggestion. So the next two questions are ones they sent you ahead of time. As we started out with, you saying doing this oral history project because the organization is now over 30 years old. The practice of information exchange has been revolutionized by the internet and social media since USAIN launched. So how do you think NEDA information technology has impacted USAIN's operations and mission?
I think one way it has impacted USAIN is, I think the association has a heart for collaboration. And I believe that USAIN knew, I know USAIN started in 1988. And at that time, I think information was in silos. But once USAIN became an organization, I think one of its missions was partnerships. And in those partnerships, the goal was to put information in an information system so other people could glean that information and not have to do so much research to find it. And I think they were a leader in that role, reaching out to different organizations, universities, the National Ag Library, and saying, hey, how can we take all of this great research information about science and agriculture and make it available on information systems where people can go just to one area and find that information? Mm-hmm. And with that, I think they also looked at the educational side of things also and decided to provide webinars also to help people learn more about not just information, but also how to write grants, how to perform lit reviews. And one thing about it, too, as far as collaborative part, working with the university, Cornell University, to preserve the presentations from USAIN. And so we can go back and we can glean more information because the materials are no longer sitting on your desk because you did the presentation, but now it can be uploaded and everybody can go back and find information that they may have not been able to write down or get while they were at the conference. So technology has opened up a lot of ways for people to learn. Open access is one of the ways that USAIN has helped people get access to great agriculture and credible information for agriculture.
Yeah. Great. The next question is looking at changes in the fields that we work in the disciplines. So agricultural practices in food science, veterinary medicine, natural resource management have all changed significantly since USAIN launched as well. From your perspective, how have changes in these fields impacted the profession of agricultural information?
Well, the fields are, they're different, but they're the same. They are seeking credible research information. And my saying has always been, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. And with USAIN and technology, the databases that used to be, I should say the journals that used to be in a print resource are now digitized and available in multiple databases. So now when there is a need to find information to support that XYZ amount of people are allergic to peanuts, and we need to see what are the molecules made up in a peanut, then now there are databases where our researchers can go and find information on subject-based materials. And that is through technology, digitization of multiple scholarly research information, and also the way that technology has changed things is, whereas if someone needed information about perhaps how to find the latest piece of equipment to look at a certain nanoscience article to help them build some type of equipment to help discover, you know, cancerous cells or things of that nature.
Yeah.
It's available online.
Mm-hmm.
It's available online. So technology has just opened the floodgates of information. And us as information scientists, as I would call us, is to help people to narrow the focus and find the best credible information out there. But with technology also, there, you know, as our President Trump has coined it, fake news, there's probably fake research out there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard you emphasizing credibility of resources.
Yes. Yeah, so we as information scientists and ag librarians, we're here to lead our patrons, faculty, staff, students, to credible information. And one way we do that is through technology, creating LibGuides. And I do know that USAIN on their website has 10 tricks for new ag librarians. I think that's what the title of that particular section is.
Yes.
And it shows us different databases that are credible for our scientists to use, our researchers to use. So everything is data-driven today because technology has made it more data accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, the thing is how can we share and help our researchers find the best information? And I think that also leads to us helping them do systematic reviews so it can help them narrow down the ideas that they want to present in their research papers.
Mm-hmm.
But Ag Data Commons is one way. You know, they're saying we have all this information out here, but it may be in California, it may be in Washington State, it may be in North Carolina, it may be in D.C., it may be in Penn State, it may be in Ithaca, New York, maybe in Gainesville. But how can this information that we have gleaned, which is great information to help researchers cut out some of the middle man or extra research that may have to do, let's put it together and make it available and get better results at a quicker pace. So technology has been a godsend for a lot of people, especially in the research field, because as you know, people would have to probably get a travel grant to come
right
to your university to perform research.
Right.
And also with the help of USAIN, we do have Project Sirius out there that, you know, gives us small grants to digitize some of the ag collections, making them available, open access. That is one of the things I love about USAIN. They're gung-ho about open access, helping others, you know, without a charge,
mm-hmm.
unlike vendors that we use on a regular basis.
And I might just mention, just for the future listeners, that Project Sirius is that partnership with USAIN, AgNIC, and Center for Research Libraries, where, like you say, they're funding digitization of historic agricultural cereals.
Absolutely. I think I need to try to get on board with that next year.
That'd be good. I think the calls usually come out in February.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so this one, based on your experiences with USAIN to date, what advice would you share with new members? The group is continuing to grow, and I'd love to learn from your experiences with it.
I think for new members, I think USAIN is a great way to get your feet wet as far as serving in an association. There are multiple groups that you can join or committees you can join that may suit your fancy as far as research, technology. Learning how to do lit reviews. I think if you just are open to just joining and see where you fit in, then I don't think you could go wrong. I don't think a new member could go wrong. And it's a great opportunity to do presentations,
right?
Because you know, if you're new and you may not be new as a librarian, but you may be new to doing presentations. And, you know, I will always encourage someone to do a lightning talk. And that'll get you used to being in front of people and speaking in front of others. And then once you get comfortable with that, then perhaps you can move on to the full length presentation. But it's a good way to get your career started and learn more about how to participate in organizations and how to collaborate as a team.
Yeah. A very supportive organization, that's for sure.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah. Well, I've really enjoyed this conversation. We're winding down. I have one other question, which is there anything else that you'd like to share about USAIN?
Well, I would like to say that I have enjoyed and still enjoy my time working with USAIN members. I, as you said before, they are a good group of people, and I wouldn't hesitate to pick up the phone to call any of the members and ask them for any research materials or any information I might need to help me to perhaps write an article, or how did they go through their process of getting tenure or promotion, or just to check on someone to say, hey, how are you doing today? I think everybody is open to helping and sharing in any way that they can. And I would encourage anyone who is in the information field and someone who cares about gleaning information and making it accessible to others as far as ag and information science is concerned, or science in general is concerned, that USAIN is a great, great organization to be a part of.
Applause. Yeah. Netta, from your perspective, coming, this is not on our list, but I just thought as a follow-up question, do you have thoughts on, you know, I know you had mentioned that you and Debbie Curry organized that panel on the on being heard with hearing the HBCU agricultural librarians' perspectives, and I'm wondering if you had thoughts on how to encourage that to continue, librarians from HBCUs to continue to participate in each of our conferences. Do you have any thoughts on what barriers there might be, or what the organization might do to increase that?
Well, just putting myself in, well, not even putting myself in somebody else's shoes, just me in my shoes, really. Our professional development money is limited. And as you can tell by my title, I wear a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. And so it may be difficult for others to participate because of limited staff, and they may not be able to get away. I know I would say that would be one barrier, limited staff, professional development funds. And I think that pretty much to me, that would be, those are my two barriers.
Yeah.
Being busy at work and not only being an ag liaison, but also managing three other departments. And it's not like you're dedicated to one particular thing that you have to do. And so you kind of have to pick your spots. You have to pick your spots. I felt like I wanted to learn more about how to share with our faculty and students who are in agriculture. I think we have probably about maybe 1,000 students in agriculture here at NCANT. And I think we graduate probably the most African-American agricultural students in our country.
Wow.
And so when I first got here, Dean Austin, at the time he was a professor, but now he's a dean, his goal was to get our cooperative extension and ag materials digitized and made available for research purposes, and to get them out of Carver Hall, which is our old ag building, which was built in 1950.
Okay.
So you can imagine papers and pictures and film being housed in a building that was built in 1950.
Yeah.
And so I guess with my meeting with him as an ag liaison, that kind of sparked my interest in becoming a part of a agricultural association. And well, that is one, that goal is still one of the top things that I want to do, is digitize the history of 1890 land grant universities, in particular North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University's digitalization of our materials here. They go back to the early 1900s.
Wow.
And
that's
so,
a real treasure.
It's a treasure. And you know, as a faculty member, you know, you have to serve a lot of entities, the university, the community, the library community, write grants. And so, you know, that's one of the things I want to do, write a grant to get these materials digitized so people can see that 1890s have been instrumental in the progress of agriculture in the United States.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I'm glad I asked. I learned a lot from your responses. It sounds like you also had really strong support from your administration early on when you mentioned that they were encouraging you to attend AgNIC and supporting you in going to USAIN.
Absolutely. My dean is Dean Vicki Coleman. And when I went to AgNIC, I went on her behalf, really. She said, Ned, I want you to go to AgNIC and take notes, and so I can share what is going on with the other 1890 library directors. And so we learned a lot, and I actually emailed, is it Brad?
Brad Brazil in Mississippi State?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I emailed him because I said, I think I have some notes, but I think I left out some things. And then he and I worked together to, he sent me his notes and then he directed me to Cornell. They had some things on their site. And through that, I was able to share with the dean and she forwarded the notes on to the 1890 Library's directors about the different topics that we covered at AGNIC and the different committees that people could join, and also the different websites when the presenter from Cornell talked about faculty having a digital footprint. And so, all HBCUs may not be able to go, but we still try to make sure that we share the information with other HBCU libraries about what's going on with AGNIC and USAIN.
That's excellent. Yep. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Great. Well, we've come to the top of the hour, and I really appreciate you sharing so many memories and stories about USAIN with me.
Well, Suzanne, thank you so much for asking me. I will say that you're right. HBCUs or 1890s, they should get more involved. As I said before, sometimes it's difficult for some. I want to be a champion for USAIN and for HBCUs. So hopefully with your leading and your oral interviews, perhaps you can get some other HBCUs or 1890s to share their stories and also have them archived as an oral interview or video interview down the line.
Yes, and I look forward to working with you, Netta, in the future to see how we could work together to realize that dream more. I know that there is new effort, renewed effort in offering conference scholarships. So it may be, first steps might be just some outreach information to the 1890s.
Well, I will be applying for that outreach. I will be applying for that grant.
Wonderful.
That was great, yeah.
Wonderful. Great.
Yep. But I really enjoy working with everyone at USAIN, and like you said, I can't wait to see what the future holds for USAIN and which way technology takes us into research and how we as information scientists, work with that technology to make our universities and our faculty and our students able to exist in a global market.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think ongoing learning is a big key to that. Keeping up.
Keeping up. Absolutely. Keeping up. Absolutely.
Well, I've got your song for USAIN in my head now. We are family.
Oh, God.
Well, again, thank you so much. And the process from here is that we will be producing a transcript at some point, and then we'll send that to you for your review before we get it archived. And eventually okay. They will be archived. They'll be archived here at the University of Florida, but they're also going to be archived at Cornell along with all the USAIN conference materials.
Okay, sounds great to me.
All right. Well, thank you again so much. Hope you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Okay.
Thank you so much. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.